Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen with another great guest in the guest segment 1030B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. We are always brought to you by Persona Nutrition. Discover vitamins and supplements personalized to your need. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. That's mypersona.com, mypersona.com. Our guest today is unusual because it's up all about peanuts and Georgia. Is that right, Georgia? So the Peanut Institute is located in Alabama, Georgia, probably near where Jimmy Carter was. But in any case, I always think of Georgia peanuts now because of Jimmy Carter. Plus, someone sends me a huge, one of my friends sends me a huge jar of Georgia peanuts every holiday, every Christmas. And it lasts for a little, it's actually a tin. It's not a jar. It's a tin that's a green and white one. But I have no idea. I can't even remember the company, but they're wonderful peanuts. And we're here actually talking about the health effects of peanuts with Dr. Samara Sterling, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, who's Director of Research for the Peanut Institute. And that means you're going to learn a lot about the health effects of peanuts. You always hear me talking about the health effect of walnuts. Well, peanuts also have a health effect that's strong. And so it is almost all nuts do, I've got to say. But peanuts are so easy and so inexpensive. How can you resist them? So talk to us a little bit about how you got into working for the Peanut Institute, Dr. Sterling. It's Sterling, is that correct?
Yes, it's Sterling, just like Sterling Silver. And thanks again for having me.
Thank you.
In terms of how I got into peanuts, it's very interesting because, so for me, my background is in plant-based nutrition for the prevention and treatment of chronic diseases. And I have been studying that for the past, I would say, about 11 to 12 years or so. I actually had a mentor who was studying walnut consumption, and that got me interested in nut consumption in general. And when I moved down south, I started looking at nut consumption specifically in a community, a rural community, overweight, obese folks who were struggling with their health and really wanted better solutions. And we didn't actually the study wasn't designed to look at nut consumption, but when we analyzed the actual data, what we found was that folks who actually consumed more nuts gained less weight or had better health outcomes. And so for me, this is what kind of started me on that path. And obviously, like you mentioned, peanuts are a very affordable nut. And so when I heard about the Peanut Institute, it was sort of like a match made in heaven, I like to say.
Now, did you grow up in near New York, near Stony Brook? You went to Stony Brook Inn for your undergraduate degree and then the University of Alabama for your PhD. Did you grow up in New York or near New York?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Jamaica. I spent a lot of time in the tropics as well as in New York. As you mentioned, I went to school on Long Island. So definitely a New Yorker at heart, I would say. And then I really also love the South. I moved down South for a lot of my schooling, so my PhD in Alabama. I would say it was a bit of a good culture shock the first time I walked on the street and someone said good morning to me. That was a pleasant surprise. And just the Southern hospitality that's here, I think that's been great. So I've stayed down South ever since.
Now, Albany, Georgia is where you're located now, where the Peanut Institute is. Is that where you work? Right in Albany?
Yes. right in Albany. It's about an hour and a half north
now,
of Tallahassee.
And where does Jimmy, is Jimmy Carter live in Albany too or near there?
Well, he lives close by. He lives maybe 40 minutes away in Plains, Georgia. So we have a very good relationship with him. Each year there's the Plains Peanut Festival that we attend, and Jimmy Carter's typically there. And he keeps going, yeah.
Does he still grow peanuts?
You know, I think he may have slowed down a little bit, but he's still going strong. So whether he's doing it himself or supporting it, he's definitely still right there into peanuts.
Now, one of the things that your study found is that the metabolic syndrome, which is a group of things that I'm going to have you tell us about, but is a group of things that are caused by obesity and are associated with type 2 diabetes and the inability of muscle to use or to use sugar as well as it should. Sugars are a major food source, but it develops insulin resistance, which is what leads to this. So somehow nuts and especially peanuts in this study were instrumental at breaking down that insulin resistance and decreasing the risk of the metabolic syndrome. So how was the study conducted, and exactly how do you think peanuts did this?
So the study, in terms of how the study was conducted, it was a 12-week dietary intervention study, and it was conducted between 2017 and 2018. It had over 200 participants, and the participants had either metabolic syndrome or risk for it. And I know we haven't defined metabolic syndrome yet, so what that is, it's really a cluster of conditions that increases a person's risk for cardiovascular disease as well as diabetes. It's a little bit harder to sort of pinpoint metabolic syndrome because rather than just saying you're hypertensive or your cholesterol may be high, it's really looking at that cluster of factors. And so the criteria may include elevated blood sugar, obesity, abdominal obesity, and elevated cholesterol. So in this study, that's what the researchers at Harvard University as well as Shanghai Institute of Nutrition and Health were looking at. Half of the participants ate 2 ounces of peanuts each day, and the other half did not consume peanuts. Instead, they ate rice cakes. And what they found, very interestingly, at the end of the 12 weeks was that...
Before we go on, let me interrupt you, Dr. Sterling. So 2 ounces is about 70 peanuts, right? 60 to 70?
Right, and you can think of it as literally 2 handfuls of peanuts.
Okay, so go ahead. So they ate, so in addition to their normal diet, and they obviously must have switched that a little bit, but they weren't limited in their normal diet. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's a really important point, is that this was really the only change that was made in their diet. Researchers weren't asking them to make any other change but to add either one of those elements, the peanuts or the rice cakes. So what they found was that the folks who had peanuts in the peanut group, they showed that they were over 2 times more likely to actually reverse their metabolic syndrome than those in the rice group. Now, there was no significant difference in some of the individual measures, such as glycemic or lipid parameters, those factors. But on a whole, when we looked at the cluster of factors, that's where the significant results were seen. So those results were really sort of striking because it's the first time that we've ever seen this being done in peanuts. Now, you did ask, what do we think is in peanuts necessarily that helped to promote the changes that we saw? Well, if we look at metabolic syndrome and those individual factors, we know that we do have research that shows, for example, that eating peanuts regularly does not contribute to weight gain, and it may even help to prevent long-term obesity in the long run. We also know that it helps to reduce your cholesterol as well.
So peanuts decrease your appetite. That's one of the things that fat does, or fat when you take it in this form, especially if you eat it at the beginning of a meal or even as a pre-meal snack. It helps suppress appetite through the release of hormones from the gut. So tell us, were they supposed to eat the 70 peanuts all at once, or could they spread them out? How were they told to do that?
They were eating them throughout the day, so one in the morning and one in the evening, one serving in the morning and one serving in the evening.
Were they told to eat them before the meal, or were they not instructed in that? In other words, what I'm trying to find out is for our listeners, is if they want to try this, what's the best way to try it?
In terms of the best way to try it, as you mentioned, before a meal, that is an ideal way to do that, because it's kind of what we call preloading. So when you do have that that serving of peanuts before your meal, it can help you actually eat less because it provides that satiating effect. So I would say that, yes, definitely you can have it right before your meal, and it does help with your appetite as well as how much calories you end up consuming.
Now, I've often thought that maybe we should mix peanuts and walnuts together, and that should be the snack food of the year. Especially since you worked with your prior work, you said, was with a mentor who was studying walnuts. So it seems like both of these nuts have that beneficial effect. Obviously, peanuts have an advantage of being incredibly less expensive. So when you think about this and think about how can I apply this to the population as a whole, what's your dream? Because these are so inexpensive, you could give them to everyone in America and wipe out a lot of metabolic syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. I think the power of this study really points back to the fact that this is one simple change. So when we talk about what that dream might be for the entire population, it is to say, hey, instead of picking up that bag of chips or maybe having something that you may not think is the healthiest for you at the time, why not just grab a bag of peanuts? So small changes, tiny habits built up over time can produce significant effects. And I think that's one of the powerful messages here. It's easy. It's simple. It eliminates a lot of the obstacles that folks may have in terms of might be an expensive food item. Well, no, because two servings cost less than 30 cents. So including it in our diets is just really a simple, effective, sustainable way and a healthy way to sort of improve our outcomes.
So what are the fats in walnuts? Are omega-3, and are especially the walnut looks like a brain, if you will, the outside. And so I always think of walnuts as brain food, and they do have omega-3. What are the fats in peanuts, and how do they help us so much?
So peanuts contain, omega-3s are in walnuts. We don't have as much omega-3 in peanuts, but what we do have, about 70%, over 70% of the fats in peanuts are unsaturated fats. These are the kinds that the American Heart Association recommends for reducing heart disease. And then 50% of the fats in peanuts are monounsaturated. This is the same type of fat that you find in olive oil, for example. So these fats in particular, we do know that when it comes on to risk for cardiovascular disease, which may play a role in what we're seeing with metabolic syndrome as in this study, we do see that those particular fats play a role.
Let's talk about this. You had 200 participants in the study. What's happened to them after the study? Is there any follow-up going on, and are they still enjoying peanuts regularly, or did they stop that when they stop participating in the study? Seems like with these kind of good results, they would want to continue that.
Yeah, And that's a good point. We don't really know the answer to that one yet, just because the research was published not too long ago. So the authors may be doing some follow-up, but it's hard to kind of guess in terms of what we're going to see. We do know that in behavioral studies, unfortunately, we tend to see an increase in healthy behaviors, and then they do taper off over time. But sometimes, especially with something that is such a small addition to the diet like we're talking about here, we do see that that habit is maintained. Even if not perfectly, it is maintained somewhat. And I think that that's still a measure of success for us. If we do see that, that's also good.
Now, does the Peanut Institute itself fund research?
So we support, we definitely partner with universities to who are interested in doing peanut research. Now, we abide by the International Life Science Institute guidelines for conducting research, which means that we're not involved in data collection, we're not involved in any aspect of the project. So for me as a scientist myself, I wholeheartedly believe in the integrity of the project. So our researchers, we trust them to do the work, and we trust them to do it well and to publish the research factually and in a balanced way. And I think that that's what's important in the long run, because we do all need to know what the research says and how we can actually apply it.
Yes, and the other point I'm bringing up is about a third of our 50,000 or so people who listen to us every week are in the medical field, either physicians or researchers, etc. And they could write to the Peanut Institute if they had a project that they were interested in that involves peanuts. Is that possible?
Sure. We're actually gearing up to do our request for proposals right now. So if folks would like to reach out to us, please feel free to do that, because it is funding season, so to speak. So they can feel free to do that.
And now, peanuts have a lot of protein. I mean, they're really good food in a lot of ways. They are rich in protein as well. Is that true?
Yes. So peanuts contain more protein than any other nut. So and in general, nuts are a pretty good source of protein. So peanuts have close to 8 grams of protein per serving. And same with peanut butter. So we do consider that, especially when you think about the interest in plant-based proteins. That's very comparable to, say, many of the beans, legumes. The protein content of peanuts is there, too.
So the point of this, if you will, is not only is this an exceptionally good choice of food for people with metabolic syndrome, but probably nuts and peanuts, just like walnuts, are a particularly good choice of food every day as a snack food. And maybe I should alternate my, every day I have an ounce or two of walnuts as my snack, and maybe I should alternate it with peanuts. In any case, Dr. Starling, I want to thank you very much for doing a great job and informing us a lot about the joys of peanuts. There's a website, thepeanutinstitute.com, to find out more information. Can they find the research there as well at thepeanutinstitute.com?
Yes, we have a research library on our website. So if you are a researcher or a clinician and you'd like to take a look at what the current research says or even past research, we've compiled a research library that you can take a look at on our website, as well as nutrition information and recipes as well.
We're going to have to have you back, because I'm fascinated by why peanuts are so inexpensive and so many other nuts like pecans are so expensive comparatively. There must be something I don't understand, but in any case, all nuts are a great choice as a food that's good for snacks, good for, we have a great pecan and walnut, if you will, chocolate bar that we have in our What to Eat When cookbook, but peanuts are a great choice as well. So we're going to have you back and talk to us about more about the nutritional value of peanuts. So I want to thank you, Dr. Sterling. Remember, our sponsor for all of these, including the guest segments, the A's, the news of the week, and what it means to you, the B, the medical news, obviously. I don't do anything other than medical news. And the B's, the guests like Dr. Sterling, that Sterling, like Sterling Silver, that bring us really new information. She's at the Peanut Institute, thepeanutinstitute.com. We're sponsored by Persona Nutrition. You can get your supplements personalized just to you. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com, mypersona.com. Thanks very much, Dr. Sterling, and thank you for downloading us, whether it was from iHeart or Radio MD. Thank you for downloading us. We'll be back next week with another great guest and another, if you will, what the medical news of the week that isn't COVID and what it means to you. Thanks again, and thank you, Caitlin, for great engineering. Thanks again.